can grant you, I can get you in the rooms that you want to get into. You know what I mean? You want to do this stuff and this and this and this and this and that. And he wasn't alluding to taking my butt, but it was alluding to taking my butt.
And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
You are now tuning in to the Awkward Thinking Podcast.
Ooh, I got that shit on. Walk away video. Ass fat. How long? In the cut. Making plays on an iPhone. Welcome back to the Awkward Thinking Podcast. I'm your boy, Nas, a.k.a. Stakes.
What up? I'm Vince.
And we are, I'm going to do it right this time. We are the friends you never knew you needed. All that in a bag of chips. Awkward people. Fuck. Regular people with awkward lives. Awkward thinkers. White people claps in the fucking building, man. White people clap.
White people clap chat.
Yes, we got Chad in the building. We got Reese in the back. We back, yes. Baby. 2024, we back,
2024,
baby.
2024, new year, new me. New pie, who this?
Yep. Hello. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. You see, I got the V-Lone on. I'm trying to have more designer on my body, even though this is not mine. But I'm trying to have more designer on my body, trying to get the likes. We trying to live a lavish life, man.
I said hi, Queens.
Yep. I said hi, Queens. Hi, Queens. Don't do that. Big Dominican. Anyway.
Big Biggie.
As always, how you been, man? It's been a minute since we pot.
Yeah, it has been a minute. It feel like we ain't been in here in a while. Since last year, damn near.
You missed me?
No, it's been peaceful without you. I ain't gonna lie. It's kind of been quiet. And
you know what we should do more of? I think we should compliment each other more. As friends, heterosexual men, I feel like we should normalize us complimenting each other more.
You don't think I compliment you enough?
No, but look me in my eyes and compliment me. Yeah, there we go. Come on, get. Don't be weird about it.
You just made it weird. What the fuck? What am I supposed to? How do you force a compliment?
Hey man, you look very handsome, Vince. You have a radiant smile.
Thank you.
You have such kind eyes as well. Thank you. Now me.
You have nice braces.
Fuck you. I do have a confession. I think this is, I need to actually get this off our chest.
Please don't tell us you're about to have a baby.
No, I'm not about to have a baby, but I feel like we need to just really explain that men do this and it's very awkward to not even express this. I think we should now normalize that, hey, as men, we gather around on Sunday and we enjoy listening to fucking Natalie's Nun, seeing her chin every Sunday. We like to see fights. So we like the messy shit. We need to normalize all our hatred for Rolly at this point in time.
Yeah. Really, you know what I mean? Fucked up. I'm disappointed in her.
Yeah, like, cause why do you like baddies?
It's entertaining. It is entertaining. It is kind of cause they old.
Yeah. It's 30. If we're watching 30 plus 40 year old plus women, there's nothing wrong with it. But y'all acting out of body, like out of body.
ET, ain't nobody fucking touch you, bro.
You said what?
Ain't nobody fucking touch her.
That man did not touch you, ET.
Why did y'all lie like that? What was y'all getting from that?
What was y'all motive in that? Nah, but what did I want to say to that though? A little bit too towards that. I forget what the fuck I was going to say to you.
You wanted to normalize us watching baddies and stuff.
Yeah, know? I mean, yeah, I wanted to normalize us watching baddies, but it was just more so like, I don't know. I think we should be able to have that pleasure without being judged or that sassy thing. But I think we do get a pass. I think girls have like, y'all can watch this. You know what I mean?
I don't know, it depends. Social media women aren't going to say yes to it, but I think in person, like the women we know and we deal with, because they know us as well.
Right.
Plus, I just feel like it's a show. It's entertainment. It's like, yeah. I don't know. It's entertainment. And I do think that we need to not be policed on what we watch or what we find entertaining, especially just like in a gender context. Like, oh, this is specifically for women. This is specifically for men. Because, I don't know, they don't make enough exciting shit for us, I would say.
So do you think that now, like, watching Baddies, that, like, the 20s is out the way? Like, the 30s is what they're trying to not make the new 20s, but damn near. Like, because most of them women are 30s, in their 30s, late 20s. This is that, like, you think that's, like, the new thing that they're trying to, like, that new agenda? Like, hey, you can still be this lit and this old. Like, you can be, like, 40 and still doing this.
I don't think that's, like, their goal of it. I think that they just, the women that they have on there have made names in, you know, in reality television already. So right. Most of them. So, like, you got Suki, you got Natalie, you got Camilla. Like, they've already been on reality TV, Mariah and shit, Sky and everybody. So it's like, yeah, you got those people who've already made a name for themselves, who are going to attract attention because some of these women are already known for, you know,
yeah, for the bullshit,
and,
yeah,
and being with the bullshit. So you got people who are already going to be attracted to that, and so that's what that is. And then you got the younger set of girls who are supposed to, I feel like, supposed to be the ones that's like, okay, this is who you're here for.
I would like to put a message out there that Scotty, wherever you are, I would like everything to do. I would like to do a lot of things to you with your consent. You are a very beautiful woman, and I want you to know that I appreciate every ounce of the show when you're on the show.
I'm glad you fought back.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm glad
you're going to fight back. We haven't watched the episode yet, but these are our pre-notions. We're glad you fought back. You know what I mean? You went toe-to-toe, chin-to-chin. I am happy for you for this. But, Scotty, when I get to the bag, as you would say, call me, okay?
Nigga, you heard what she told Kanye. You ain't God, nigga, because you got a bag.
It don't matter. Once this podcast really blow up, I'm going to change your life, mm-hmm. But in our hiatus.
Speaking of some messy shit.
Yeah,
you
were
just in Chicago. You did a trip.
Yeah,
How was that?
No, you talking about some messy shit. It really wasn't messy. It was not a messy trip. Don't get it twisted.
Sure?
No, it wasn't. Was it a messy trip? No, it wasn't a messy trip. It really wasn't a messy trip. I think it was well needed for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was down in the fucking dumps. Like, nigga, I was stressed out. I had all this time on my hands from work. I was just like, I need this vacation, and I'm just going to have fucking fun. My goal was to get drunk every single day and have fun for like 3 days.
I don't knock it.
Yeah. And, you know, I went with some people we went to college with, and we had a 2-hour conversation about my bottom half.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily, how do I want to put it? Not necessarily my ass too much. It was like 30 minutes of that. And then it was 30 minutes of how do you feel about the gay community or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, you know, what could you say in those instances? It's like, what could you say? No, get away from me. It's just like, I said my piece. I made my, you know, my points. This is, y'all, it's been a year. It's been a year now. I've made that comment a year ago.
I think
let it go.
Shit just be, I don't know. I feel like as men, we always get challenged.
Yeah.
Like with our sexuality, with everything, it's always a poke and a challenge of like, okay, well, you was talking about your ass. How far are you willing to go with it?
Yeah, or exactly.
How do you feel about this? Because it's like people, and for whatever rare reason, it's like that guy talk thing I was telling you about, but it's like that reassurance that niggas be needing from you to make sure, like, oh, well, if a gay person ever stepped to you, how are you going to respond?
Right.
So that way we know how to treat you in this moment.
Because in hindsight, I was just like, it's not a real place.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The internet is not a real place. It's not, no gay nigga has came up to me after that incident.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want to call it an incident. After I said what I said, no gay person has come up to me and was like, oh, I love your ass. Don't start. Mm-hmm. Don't do it, though. I'm. That's not a path to be like, oh, nobody did it. Don't do it. But no gay person. It's always been love since, you know, it'd be like, oh, we love your podcast when people approach us. So that's what I was saying. It was like, that's not real. People make burner accounts just to troll.
I also would say I think a lot of times the people we are surrounded by don't watch our full episodes. They just watch clips. And so I think they get caught up because a lot of times those clips are the ones that get not resurfaced, but just
but yeah, it brought it around brought, often. And we planned we planned that one, mm-hmm. and I don't want to harper too long on it, but we planned. We said I said that, and we said on the same episode you said something, mm-hmm. and we were like, watch your clip of you saying something about your ass goes viral, mm-hmm. and what I just said won't.
Yeah.
And we literally put the same clips up at the same times, and that was the one that went viral.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we be knowing, You know what I mean? It was a real situation though. It's mm-hmm. not propaganda, but we be knowing. But
how else was your Chicago trip?
Yeah. I didn't get no Chicago food this time around. Mm-hmm. No Chicago food. Literally, I was drinking Herder, which is a tequila. I think everybody should try it. It gets you right real quick. Not a sponsor, but it was amazing. I met some great women while I was in there. While I was in Chicago. Shout out to her. I know I said women in plural, but shout out to a specific one.
Okay, Drake.
Yeah, listen. I get Drake. I get him now. I get it. You know what I mean? Like, I get when girls like when you put their name into. I'm never gonna put a name in there,
mm-hmm.
but girls like when you hint at something that y'all shared. They're like, oh, you talking about me? Oh, he real serious about his shit. I'm like, you know, I had to say this real quick. That's like flowers. That's virtual flowers. I'm saying your name on a record.
You feel like when you bring up a situation or encounter you have with a shorty, when you bring it up on the pod, that's the same as when Drake bring her up in a song?
Yes. Literally, it's in. I be hoping it goes. In some cases, a lot of those situations go viral.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be like, yeah, you know, I'll just be. Yeah, you know I mean, you know what I mean.
you feel like that's doing something for her versus it doing something for you.
Then depending on what we do, because mm-hmm. if it's an embarrassing sex story, of course she's not gonna be like, nigga, like what the fuck.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's something like we met and we was doing this, you know what I mean, and we doing this little thing while we texting and shit like that, she's like, oh, you been talking about me,
You don't think that's like stroking your own ego or even a little manipulation?
It's stroking my ego for sure. Mm-hmm. but who doesn't like a little stroke here and there? Yeah. I don't know, have nothing for that. I just it's stroking my ego a little bit. I mean, who doesn't, you know?
I don't knock it.
Yeah. I mean, the same way if you put Cheyenne's name in here, you know what I mean? Now, you actually say your girlfriend's name.
I do.
You're right. So, and then she's like, oh, you was talking about me. And then, you know, you be getting cool points from
your mom. Okay, so look. I don't ever drop her name and be like, yeah, I know she gonna eat this up when I finish this episode. I know this gonna be she gonna love this when I say this.
But no, you might not.
You're doing it with the whole intent and purposes of, oh, I know this is gonna fuck with her, but she gonna love this and this is gonna make her like, oh, she gonna be on my shit.
No, not like she gonna be on my dick, but it just be like, damn, like.
Oh, he was thinking. Yeah, about
he was. I be thinking.
And you know,
I'm a lover boy, man. I am a lover boy. I love women who enter my life. That's why it's really so hard. Mm-hmm. I see why people are so hard to commit sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily me, but other men. Because it's so many. When you do go to different cities, there's so many different beautiful fucking women, bro,
mm-hmm.
and so many beautiful experiences that you get from meeting different women. And I'm not saying like. That is the case for every man or something like that. Because, you know, you can meet beautiful women and be their friends and stuff like that. But it's just like.
But a new city bring new opportunities and everything.
Exactly. And you know what I mean? And it's something about it. It's just like. And that's what it's like the Drake experience. Because mm-hmm. I don't know what this experience may bring. Or this person I met that, you know, made me feel good in this moment. So, yeah, I've been. I like traveling. I'm out of town. Nas is a good fucking time.
I'm out of town.
I'm thugging with my rounds. You hear me?
Yeah. I love that for you, man.
Thanks,
man. You seem like you did have a good time.
I had a ball, bro. I was drunk out of my fucking mind.
And you dressed up. You look nice. There go your compliment. There you go.
Thank you. Commend complimenting men. that's our building block. No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No,
I
you don't.
You. I give you your flowers.
You compliment me probably like you by talking shit. You'll say something, but it will come up with talking shit.
Because with Nas, it's like. You can't give him too much, or he'll run with that shit. You can't give him too much, bro. And so you gotta. Oh, I fuck with those shoes. I'm surprised it's some shit you would wear, but I fuck with those
shoes. And then I would say, Yeah, you know how that go. You know what I'm saying? I had that. But that's the East Coast in me. Like, I'm a naturally fly nigga, bro. I can't help. Even if I'm wearing some bummy shit, I'm just too fly. Like, niggas can't, like, when it come to me and how I dress, I know niggas be like, damn, this nigga Nas about to step again, bro. Like, I hate this nigga. And I be like, yeah, keep hating, because it's only going to get better.
You don't got to put on for these cameras, motherfucker.
I don't know why liars lie.
You funny as hell.
But also, these Beijing Warriors. I'm tired of these niggas.
Beijing Warriors?
These Beijing Warriors.
Oh.
Yeah, with the... Yeah.
Beijing, yeah.
I'm tired of these niggas with the fake jewelry, with the crispiest hairline, talking the most dumbest shit in the fucking world. I was on Instagram, and I see this man say, I can't fart around my girl because then she gonna look at me as a regular nigga. I said, what in the fuck of manhood did we ever think that was gonna make you a regular nigga in her eyes? I think a woman expects every time her man is gonna fart. If you don't fart around your girl, you don't like your girl.
I kind of feel like you just reach with that.
How? Oh, shit, you breaking the set. You know, y'all, all our interns been breaking the set today.
Sharice and CJ.
CJ has been back, and he's been fucking shit up the whole time. But go ahead, please.
I don't fart in front of my girl for the most part if I can help it. Like, and it's not like I don't feel like I'm going to lose any of my manhood by farting in front of her, but I just feel like... out of consideration, my farts stink like a motherfucker. That's not some shit. Sometimes I don't want to.
I like to bask in my ambience,
and I get that, but I don't want that for her. I don't want her to. I don't want to do that to her. And then sometimes, like, if the shit was silent, I feel like I'd be okay. Sometimes my shit sound like a fat motherfucker.
Hello, motherfucker.
Yes. Sometimes I be farting. I be like, that shit came out of you, nigga. Like, what the fuck? And so I don't want her to see that side of me. Not yet, at least. Like, I want us to still, we still fresh in our shit. And I want us to keep it fresh right now. Like, I don't know. Because
I'm a farter. I fart on first links. I'm a, that motherfucker gonna fart. Now, I'm a fart. And I'll wait till she smell it. I'm a dangerous guy. This is lethal. I'm a trifling nigga for real.
I see.
But I was raised trifling. It's just how I was raised. I have people in my family that do the same shit. I wait. You know, we be in the car and y'all might smell something. And
that shit is annoying. That shit, I get so frustrated when that shit happens because it's like, yo, like, just warn a motherfucker. We in the car. We can't help that you about to fart. But say, yo, I'm about to fart, so I'm already prepared. Sometimes, if I'm not prepared, it feels like an assault. I'm so serious. It feels like an assault because it's like, whoa, the fuck? And it's like, bro, you could have just said something. Like, I'll fart in the car and be like, oh, I just farted. I'm going to roll down the window a little bit. Even if I ain't got to
roll the window. We were roommates, and you were farting, like, immensely a lot, and it used to irritate the fuck out of me. Like, oh my, you have the type of farts that is,
but
like, ain't no way.
My girl.
Yes, but that's like you're in your comfort at home, and you're, but you will fart like this shit is only made for TV. Like, you, they call you to make the sounds for people to fart on TV.
That's how they chilling, bro. I mean, gassy as fuck. That shit just, it be in here and it be like, it gotta come out though.
But I agree. Like, I don't know. Like, all my shorties that I've dealt with, I've made it a comfortable. You can fart. You can do. It's human. It's human. Like, and even when I'm like I'll do playful shit. Like, yeah, I'll trap you under the covers. I'll do shit. Like, I think it's funny. I think it builds character. No. It builds character.
That shit go build animosity. I'm sorry.
It builds character.
I don't know. Like. Farting, that shit just, it don't, nobody fart smells good. Like, nobody's fart smells, like, I don't want to smell nobody else's fart.
I feel like, okay, if a woman farts around me, we're close. We're locked in. Like, it's cute. Like, not like, yeah, it's cute. It's not, depending on
fart.
I'm
not saying she can't fart or whatever, but I like the innocence thing that we got going on. I like that we respect respect each other enough to not fart crazily around each other. Like, if I gotta, she just admitted that she shits.
What?
I was like, yeah, like, did you think I went like this whole year not thinking you shit it at all? Women are funny, bro.
Yeah, women are hilarious. But it was this one time, and then we could, you know what I mean, do what we do. It was this one time I was with Sharice, had an apartment. Sharice and Aaliyah had an apartment, and I was staying over there, and you know how off campus and shit, you know, you get a ride. So this girl, she will remain nameless, she said, "Hey Nas, I'll give you a ride to campus." Mm-hmm. So, you know, at the time, you know, I had a little crush. She was fine. She, you know, all that shit. Mm-hmm. You know, I had not a big crush, but a nice little crush on her. So she gets ready. She has a car. I'm sitting in the car and shit like that. She says, "Hold on, I'm about to run out real quick." So she just stands outside of the car. So I'm like, okay, she's just standing out in the car. So she instantly gets back in. But what followed her, I've never smelled something so, like, this came out of a woman. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just, it broke my face. Like, it shattered my facial expression. And after, when I smelled it, I said, we can only be friends. Mm-hmm. Like, that was a fart that made me was like, we can only be friends. I cannot look at you the same on that one. And I know it's so shallow, is that? But it was just like, it was so bad. She said, "Oh, I'm so sorry I had broccoli." It was so bad. Like, I still remember, I damn near could taste it, how bad that fucking fart was. All right. That shit, it was so bad, bro. But yeah. That was.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I had to. I'm sorry.
She was supposed to crop dust. She was supposed to let that bitch go and walk it off.
She knew we was meant to be friends, because that was the homie fart. That was a homie. Like, we don't homies.
Gotta be the homie.
She said, "Oopsie."
That shit is
Yeah.
And it's not because she's a woman. It's just because it's a fart.
It was a nasty joint too. Yeah.
That shit do make you be like, oh.
You want to get into our first little seggy deggy?
Yeah,
our couch momi-omi.
Couch moment.
Yeah.
So, y'all know me. I'm good at putting niggas on. I do this shit. I do.
No, you're not. We do 50-50. Like, some movies be good, some movies be terrible.
A lot of them be good, though.
But go ahead, please.
Most recently, I put these niggas on the Saltburn. If you have not watched Saltburn, we are going to be talking a lot of shit about it.
Yes, we are.
So, spoiler alert, be ready if you need to take a moment, pause. Or maybe you one of them niggas that like to watch shit and get spoilers, and then that makes you go back and watch it. I feel like that was an awkward-ass movie.
It was an awkward-ass movie.
Yeah. It was some white people shit, though.
It was.
That was some white people shit.
No, I wouldn't say it's all the way white people shit. Because we've heard some black people do some undane, but that was, I ain't gonna lie. That was some white people shit. Yeah. I can't even defend the white people on that one, y'all. I can't.
But one thing I will say, even though it was some white people shit, that was a good movie. It was a good, solid movie.
Unexpected. Very solid movie.
It was a good story. And again, you know, with the film industry being what it is right now.
But it wasn't a story.
It was.
It was a story without a story.
I get what you mean, because it's like there is no beginning. Well, there's an end.
I'm saying, like, it wasn't a traditional, like, all right, you know the plot of this movie. You know this. Like, even the trailer of the movie is not going to tell you, like, okay, like, what they try to pitch it as is not that.
It's not. Yeah. I agree. It's one of the things that I feel like as you watch, just as the story is unfolding and everything, you're just like, oh, I fuck with this. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, it is slow at times, but it's like, you just got to be patient with shit. I think everybody wants some fast-paced, action-packed shit. You just got to be patient. It's one of the movies, it's a slow burn.
It's a slow burn,
but it's a slow burn.
It's a slow burn movie.
It start off with this really awkward dude, and I forgot his fucking name. We should have pulled up names before.
I don't know his name, but hold on. We have phones. Oliver.
And then what's the dude's name?
Felix.
Okay, yeah. So the story follows Oliver. Oliver is the main character, and he's like kind of following Felix, who's like this rich, handsome little white kid, you know, the dude from Euphoria. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of, I would say, obsessed. Mm-hmm. It appears as an obsession at first, and it's like you almost as if he's not sexually obsessed, but like obsessed with
It gave the obsession gave at first mm-hmm. gives. Hey, I'm a new kid coming to this school. This guy, he seems lit. It looks as mm-hmm. if the regular American teenage story that this is the it crowd. I need to be in this it crowd. That's mm-hmm. what it gives the first couple scenes of it.
Yeah. And he's like doing all these things. And it's like you feel for this character because you see him trying to assimilate with these rich ass people who are what seems like out of his fucking league, and they look down on him because it's like he's poor. They said, don't nobody want to fucking sit next to that nigga.
Yeah.
He buys his fucking clothes from this specific store, and it's like
he is lose poverty.
Yeah. And so, like, people didn't even want to sit by him. It's one of those kind of stories. And you see him kind of work his way throughout all of that and, like, kind of gain people's respect and, Not loyalty and shit, but people just start caring for him and admiring mm-hmm. him a little bit. And then so out of pity and everything, Felix invites him to his castle back in Saltburn.
Right.
And he's like, you know, you got a lot of shit going on with you. Come back with me and come chill. Like, we take people in all the time. Come home with me for the summer and chill. You just graduated. You don't got shit to do. Let's go kick it.
And it was I don't necessarily like that. I didn't like that part of it. Like mm-hmm. how, I mean, in the beginning, how he's portraying himself, like, my family's bullshit, this and this and this mm-hmm. and that. I see where it goes, but I am not that welcoming to be like, oh yeah, come to my house. And I think that is the difference between black people and white people. White people are, come to my house. You're family now. Black people, we got a list of shit mm-hmm. that
we gotta vet you out.
Yeah, we gotta vet you out for a couple months before you can even stay in mm-hmm. the house for real, for real.
Because you just gotta be careful with motherfuckers. Exactly. You never know. But they let him come stay at the castle. While he's at the castle, apparently they're like paying for all of his shit. Like, and he's just still being very awkward because he's he's coming from a background, or he's telling him he's coming from a background where he does not have shit. He barely got parents. His father just died. Mm-hmm. His mom's a alcoholic, and she don't got her shit together. Yeah. And so, like, he's making all these awkward little
gestures and shit.
Yeah, like, when it comes to the waiters and the maids and shit, like, he doesn't understand how things work mm-hmm. exactly at this point. And it kind of do make people feel sorry for him and want to help him out.
You know, what I was looking at the film, and I'm like, do the butler know something? Because it was always, because what happened to him?
The butler?
Yeah.
The butler basically got fired.
Oh, he got fired? Oh, I didn't know he got fired or not. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. But the butler basically knew.
Yeah, that's what I was, because I'm like, now, like, thinking back at the movie, I'm like, the butler was like, this don't seem like, this don't feel right.
And I think, because what it is, when you come up, not to say the butler came from poverty, but mm-hmm. normally, you know, you come from a working class person or somebody who works. Normally, you know certain signs or you can see certain things. And I don't know, just working in an industry like that, I feel like you pick up on people. Mm-hmm. And so immediately he was like, you not who you kind of portraying yourself to be. Like,
right.
He ain't too friendly with the other people either, but he was definitely not friendly with that nigga at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, why you such an asshole toward him at first until you see the shit unfolds? And basically, Oliver just ends up being this maniacal con artist who pretended to be this fucked up, sad sob story. And his parents are both alive, and they both doing very well.
Very well, loving people mm-hmm. and shit like that. It was just, yeah.
Yeah. And so some other shit happens. Some weird shit happens, I ain't gonna lie. It's a lot of shit that takes place in this story, and I don't want to rush through and try to give y'all like a synopsis too much.
Note to mind you, as me, because me and Chad are watching the film, me, Malik, mm-hmm. and Chad are watching the film as well. And this nigga Vince, like, it's a scene. Can I say the scene? Mm-hmm. The scene of, I don't know which one first.
or the
that no the was the period came first. The period eating came first.
No, I think the bathtub came first.
The bathtub came first?
Yeah.
What's that?
The bathtub? Yeah, the bathtub scene came first, and then it was the period one right after down there.
So the bathtub scene came first. So this nigga is like beating the fuck out of Felix. His shit. Like Felix, the handsome guy, is beating the fuck out of his shit. The nigga
in a shared bathroom.
In a shared bathroom, like he got the door cracked. Number one, if I'm beating it up, the door is not even cracked.
But I feel like that
is a rich privilege.
Yeah, that was on purpose. It's like, and because it's not like you. He in there moaning and everything.
Yeah, and Felix fucked his sister. Yeah, that's what he said. He said that.
Felix is Felix. Felix. Oliver is the one.
No, but Felix said he messed around with his sister, and he was like, you know, we didn't know. I didn't know. Yeah, he said, I didn't know.
His cousin. He fingered his cousin.
Oh, well, yeah. I thought it was his sister. All right, long story short, he was beating the fuck out of his dick. And you know how, you know, when niggas be like, oh, I'll sip her. A bath water with a fucking.
Yeah, she's so fine, I drink her bath water.
Yeah.
And that.
So that's what Oliver said to himself. He said, this nigga's so fine that I'm going to just drink his bath water. And this nigga, after he's done, after the nigga just nutted and floated, or whatever the fuck is going on, the last little suds of the water, the dirty water, the booty water, is at the bottom of the fucking tub. Mm-hmm. This nigga is slurping.
Coming that bitch like Hannibal Lecter.
Literally slurping the fucking. But I'm like, how the fuck did he not get caught?
That's what I was wondering too. Because I ain't gonna lie, like, even though I left out the bathroom, I'm coming right back in that bitch.
Yeah.
Shit. And then it's like the water's still running down the fucking. And you in that
you had to bitch. He had to go and there
you,
quick.
You making hella noise, bro. You making because it. You he's literally slurping the bath water. I would have heard that shit and been like, what the fuck is happening? Yeah. Like, what the fuck? This nigga was a creep.
A sick nigga,
true,
bro.
True awkward ass nigga because he presented himself awkward as fuck.
Bro, like, it was so fucking weird, bro. Like, but note to mind you, we're all sitting back to me, Malik, and CJ sitting there. We're gross the fuck out. We're like, oh, my God. And then I turn over to Vince, and I'm like, you watched this before. Because I'm like, ain't no way you just, like, you're literally seeing this, and it's like, this is normal to you. And I'm like, you saw this before. Like, he was trying to play it like, oh, this is our first time seeing it, because he didn't want to watch it at first, because we was about to watch something else that he wanted to watch, but because he's, like, horrored out. And then I'm like, nigga, you've seen this movie before. And he be trying to play. We do that a lot. We try to play off movies. We've done that. I forget what movie we did that with him, and he still don't know.
It was a
we just told him, though. But, yeah, that movie was sick. Some sick shit. Do you want to get into the other sick shit he's done?
Yeah, he did some trifling ass shit with his sister.
Is it trifling? Because we know niggas that do it.
Yeah, and they trifling. So, yeah.
I mean, you want to, you know, it's on some Kevin Gates shit. You know what I mean? I want to eat all her.
He did more than run a red light. What did he say? He was a vampire?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, the sister, she keep going outside of his bedroom down there every night. And she right outside his window.
Smoking sick, blowing them cigarettes down.
With a little nightgown on, that's about it. And so she's waiting for him to constantly come down there so they can do whatever they do. And so one night he slide down there and he go from, oh, I'm this awkward ass to, yeah, what's up?
He wants some Kevin Gates shit, he said.
Literally.
Bend that ass over.
Let that coochie breathe.
Shake that ass, bitch.
Mm-hmm. But nah, so, and she tell him, like, yo, I'm on my period. I don't know if this the right time, he said.
And most niggas would say, oh, you on your period? We can just chill.
That nigga said, I'm a chill in that pussy.
I'm a chill in that pussy.
And he said, listen, if I gotta swim through the Red Sea, that's what I do. Moses parted that shit. I'm a part it too.
Nigga, this nigga dug his fingers and was eating it, like eating the period blood, like the nigga off of Narnia with them Turkish delights.
Please stop. I just reread that shit too. Stop. He was fucking them Turkish delights.
He was
up.
Fucking his fingers up. Like he had some hot flamers on that his nigga fucking said, fingers.
Literally, he. Like, you would have thought that nigga just had a 10-piece from JJ's or something. That nigga something. Was busting down them. Them
he was
bitches.
Busting down that period pussy.
Sticking that
crazy.
Shit in her mouth. And that shit turned her on. I get why I that get probably it. Turned that her on.
Her hormones. Yeah. And her ovulation and
but
shit.
It's like, you a nasty bitch still.
Some girls
you,
like that,
though. And I can believe that they try their own shit. I ain't gonna lie. Yeah. I can believe that. Charisse.
I mean, niggas, Charisse, be the confirmation.
Do women try their own period blood?
No. Fuck no.
So you've never gotten curious?
No. I feel like they do. I feel like at one point y'all like,
because niggas get curious. Niggas, I know niggas that, I won't say their names, but I've known niggas that try their own nut. Niggas try their own nut.
How do you not say names? That sounds so fucked up.
How?
Yeah, I know a couple niggas who tried their own nut.
Nigga, people, humans are curious, bro. Humans are curious.
I get the curiosity, but it's just like, how do you know niggas who tried their own nut?
Because niggas politic. That is a part of guy talk. Yeah, you know, I've done tried my nut before. You're curious.
I ain't never sat around and talked about trying nut before. I'm sorry.
I had a weird upbringing.
But I do think that's something that women probably do. Y'all probably go down there once in y'all life. Because y'all be putting the shit in spaghetti for voodoo rituals and
You know why? You know why? Women have probably tried it is because, like, you know how niggas do the, you know what I mean? Like, they'll stick their fingers in her while she's not on her period. And then she'll, like, lick her fingers. So I'm not, that doesn't sound too far off to me. Like, that sounds right on budget.
Mm.
Yeah.
Nah, let's go get us off topic.
Go ahead. We're back. Movie review. We're back.
I was just going to say, like, the film, it had a lot of sex and stuff in there. Like,
a lot of gay.
Not necessarily too much. I feel like
it alluded gay.
Yeah.
But it wasn't gay.
Yeah, it was, like, soft gay, if that
makes
sense.
Yeah, it was soft gay porn.
Yeah, because it was a lot of, like, ass cheeks and shit out and...
dicks was out, and they was like,
dicks,
you know,
didn't come out to the end.
No, the dicks did. Well, the dicks didn't come out to the end, but it was a point where they was all naked.
Yeah,
and Oliver came up, and they was like, "Oh damn, Oliver, you got that big ass donkey dick."
They did not fucking say that. They said congrats.
They said congrats, but yeah.
There's a lot of. I don't know, a lot of sexual stuff that comes up in this movie, and it's like the way that they have, or the way that they interact with sex, I would say, is like freely. Yeah. They interact with it very freely. Like, don't get me wrong, they just graduated, but I feel like they just graduated what, high school?
Yeah.
Was that high school?
It was boarding school. It was boarding school, like go away school.
So it
was in
college?
I feel like it might have been college.
Oxford.
Yeah, I think it was college.
Okay, let's say college. I hope it's college. But, you know, it's still certain shit that for me feels weird to do. I don't want to talk about sex around my family and shit. But that was my upbringing. But for them, it's like I'm watching these interactions that they're having with each other. And it's like, don't nobody give a fuck that it's a lot of fucking going on.
Yeah.
Don't nobody care that's happening and who they fucking and how they, and like you said, they all outside, like there's a scene where they're all outside naked together and they ain't having an orgy or
that's
nothing
beautiful.
But it is because it's kind of not again freeing, but it's like I feel like as black men we don't always have that freedom,
of course,
where it's like I don't know. There's so many restrictions already put on us by a certain age. And so by the time you get to a certain age, you're already like, this is the path that I have in front of me. Like, I don't have no other choice. But it's like to see people interact with that. And then not even just that, but just it'd be a lot of, I don't know, shit that I feel like we miss out on because of how police we are with certain shit, with our sexuality, with our
sexual desires, our sexual fantasies. And to even piggyback off of that, it's just like the freedom that showed of wealth and just non-judgment, because it was judgment within it, but it wasn't too much. It was like, yeah, we're all naked, we all are free. Like, certain things, I was just, the only person I probably seen naked is just people that I was in my household. You know what I mean? And that was like a thing of the house. Not I'm out in the open or I'm doing these things or anything of that nature. So I think it's just like it's levels to white privilege that people just don't tackle on, you know?
And then like I was telling Nas, I don't even think it's also necessarily just white privilege. I think it's privilege of like money, having money. Money makes you feel freer to do certain things, so you're less restricted, you're less like, I don't know, again, we grow up in a box.
Yeah.
People with money don't grow up in a box.
Yeah.
They grow up with shit to make boxes or to do whatever they need to do. Mm-hmm. But we grow up already, and it's like, we already have in front of us what we're supposed to do, and there's no room to go out of that. Like, and if you do, you get looked at as an other, or you're some weirdo within your own little society.
But you know, watching a film and him doing, like, because he jacked off the I forget his fucking name.
Oh, the cousin.
Yeah, he jacked off the cousin. Oliver jacked off the cousin.
Yeah, I forgot.
And nothing in my head was like, he's gay.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even get like a yeah, he's gay mm-hmm. type of vibe through the whole movie. I'm like,
Not even when he was drinking the bathwater?
Like, it just was odd. It never gave me he was gay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was.
He said he wasn't in love with dude. Just felt like it was more of a, I would say passion, maybe.
Yeah.
More of a, he felt passionate towards him, but, I mean, he stopped him from doing what he did.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
But, yeah, so I would just say, I don't know. I feel like it would have been nice to have some freedom growing up. Not saying that niggas want to just be out here, you know.
Trying dick or anything. Yeah, but you know.
To grow up and not feel like you had just one choice, or to not feel like if that was something you wanted to do, or even not even think about, but just anything, you had the option to do it.
Exactly.
It's just nice to be able to be like, yeah, I had the option to turn that down, to say no to this, or to say, I don't want to participate in these things.
Exactly. So, are we done with the couch moment? Is the couch moment over?
Yes.
Okay. We really don't like to do current events, but this one we had to touch on. We had to really digest on what we seen, what we saw for 2 hours and 46 minutes. And that was Cat Williams, man.
Mm-hmm.
Cat Williams versus Hollywood. That's what it was. And I loved every single bit of it. Every single redundant question that Shannon Sharp has asked this man, I've loved every minute of it. Yeah.
I didn't. Cat Williams, he said his shit. He was funny. He was honest and everything. Personally, I didn't care for Shannon's
interview style.
Yeah, and that's not to say he does not need to continue. He just needs to improve a little bit. That's it. Just some constructive criticism.
It was very, Shannon Sharp's interview style was very meatheadish. If it was like, yeah, so how did the people cross the bridge? Okay, stole them out. Watching it, I knew what the fuck Cat Williams was doing.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, you don't know the power of your platform. And you don't, and I know your interview style. I've been in media a very long time. Shannon Sharp is not like a nobody, you know what I mean? But I've been in this. The nigga said I read from 8 to 12, 3,000 books. A nigga knows what he's doing, like how in Saltburn. The nigga knows I'm smart, but y'all are acting dumb, so I'm going to show you. I'm going to just play through this whole thing.
To your perceptions and everything of me until I need to stop.
Because what Cat Williams did, he was ego stroking. He said, you know what? You're good. You're this. Yeah. And it got him more engaged, more this and this and that, because I have to air this.
Again, nothing to Shannon, but it just wasn't. It was like, to me, like watching it, I'm seeing Cat Williams really kind of orchestrate the story on his own. Like, Shannon is asking these questions, and Cat is like, yeah, but if when we look at it like this, and then he goes into something else, and it's like, oh shit, this isn't even shit. Because to me, of course, Cat, that nigga came there with something to say. He said the South got something to say. He needed to get that shit off his chest, and he did. And so, to me, I know me, I already have conversations with myself. I plan out conversations that I'm going to have with other people at times, and I plan out some of the questions they might ask me. I plan out some of my responses to those questions, and I, you know,
listen,
go down
out.
A
whole
rabbit hole of that. And so, the way he spoke, the way he talked, it was like, it was him interviewing himself and getting everything he needed to get out, because some questions were not being asked.
Exactly.
Some good ass questions were not being asked, or like even follow ups. Don't do that.
Oh,
I don't
sorry.
Fucking know. Just some of the stuff I feel like when Kat was talking about just his lifestyle, even him getting to getting down to Florida and shit, like with that, it was like, oh, so what about this? And it was like, that don't got shit to do with what he's talking about right now. Let's stay on track with this. Ask that nigga, okay, well, what was your first move when you touched down to Florida? And when you got down to Florida, did you think to make any contacts with anybody? Who did you go to? Did you think to go to a shelter, or did you think to go meet up with people first? Or what were you doing? Like, what the fuck was the plan? And
I
mean, of course, Kat, like he said, I didn't have a plan. I was really just trying to figure shit out on my own.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it was a very good interview, as far as we got more details on how the fuck shit is ran.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, and how it's a we all knew, everybody knows that Hollywood is a favoritism place.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean, but now with social media, it was hard to contain that at a point in time.
Yep.
And now that I can control algorithms, now I can pay for somebody to be seen. I can pay for something to get shadow banned. Now they have back control of what they didn't have in control of.
Yep.
You know, and shit like that.
Because he spoke on some good shit, like even the Monique shit, even the Dave Chappelle shit. Niggas not getting paid. Taraji. People not getting paid what they supposed to be getting paid.
You know.
And then
go ahead,
niggas
please.
Not moving the way they were supposed to be moving for those people.
But, you know, and this is a little brief segue to, and we can circle right back. I don't like when rich people cry about money.
To an extent, I do understand, because when Monique first started saying she wasn't getting paid, I was like, motherfucker, we ain't getting paid either. Why should I care? But then when you look at it and it's like, no, right is right and wrong is wrong, regardless of no matter if what you're making is 50 times or 50,000 times what I'm making hourly or whatever, you were supposed to earn that. You were supposed to earn your coin. You were supposed to get the dollar amount that you were signed up to get. And you should have gotten more. You should have been able to get paid just as well as your counterparts or whatever, your white counterparts at that, and your male counterparts at that.
Mm-hmm.
That was something I had to grow up for.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't mature enough to understand that when it first happened, and then it was like later on it finally hit me, like, it makes sense that she should get paid what she's asking for, no matter if I'm not getting paid that, like, because sometimes that be our little bitterness that fuck us up from future shit as well, because maybe if Monique start getting paid correctly, then Taraji would have been getting paid correctly.
That's
and
true.
Then by Taraji getting paid correctly, maybe trickle down somewhere, motherfuckers would think to pay us correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And we wouldn't be living in this world where it's like we all fighting over
pennies.
You can't get to where you need to go because I ain't got to where I need to go yet.
Exactly. And, you know, and he was just basically saying to people that are preaching that, oh, you can get up and do this. Like, you can wake up every day. You can do this and that. People do that all every day. He said, my gardener does the same thing as you do. You just are in movies.
Yep.
Literally, you know what I mean? Who does not work?
Mm-hmm.
Who does not go up? Well, people don't work. There's some people who don't fucking work.
It is.
But who doesn't work? Who doesn't work hard?
And like that nigga said, y'all are gatekeepers.
Mm-hmm. I wanted him to go more into that.
Yeah,
though.
And that was one of the things Shannon should have asked about further. Like, how do you feel like these people, or what other instances have you noticed that people were gatekeeping? Because like that nigga said, he said, Kevin opened that gate. He let Tiffany in.
Mm-hmm. That was a poor gate to open.
Yeah.
I ain't going to lie. Not like because she's not funny. She was never funny.
She wasn't.
She was never, ever funny. And I'm not jumping on the comment bandwagon, but Tiffany Haddish was never. The only time Tiffany Haddish got a laugh out of me was Girls Trip.
Mm. I never watched it.
That was probably the only laugh Tiffany Haddish has ever gotten out of me. Every other movie, no.
What I will say is that Kat wasn't hating. He didn't come off like a hater. He came off like a nigga who was, like, I won't say mad, but, like, I'm just tired of playing around with you niggas.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he came off. He didn't come off like, yeah, these niggas is not funny because they not everything he said was facts. I got 12 shows. I produced them all, and they all did great. And I've been able to make my money back from all that shit and do whatever with it. I would have never guessed he produced all that shit himself.
I wouldn't either.
Ever.
Yeah.
I would have never guessed that he got done the way he got done with some of them niggas. Because it is, you grow up, you watch Steve Harvey, you watch these niggas, Cedric the Entertainer, you watch these people, and you like...
You love them.
And you respect them.
Mm-hmm.
And you see these people as like prominent black male figures in our community, and you like mentors. These mm-hmm. are the niggas who's supposed to be ushering in the next generation. And like he said, though, it's like a club.
Yeah.
It's like... It's not about everybody gets to come in. It's about who we decide to come in, and we hold that. Like, mm-hmm. we make sure, the kings of comedy are these specific people. Mm-hmm. These aren't it's not for everybody or for somebody to earn their spot up to this. It's exactly. for these people to keep doing what they're doing. And it I don't know, it's just so crazy to see how shit don't be too far. Like, mm-hmm. you know what we go through here with work and shit. It's like you would think at that point you would be above all the dumb shit. You would be above all the petty shit.
I think it's just like when you watching it is like when you watch these men and you watch people that you've always grown up to look up, and they're making great things. Like, you know what I mean, making monumental achievements, and it's like, you know, I want that for myself, or I want to meet that person one day because mm-hmm. they seem like a great guy. Like, that's the chance of opportunity. When you're standing next to this person, oh, you've made it. You know what I mean? Like, even with, like, the Diddy situation, it's just like that. Oh, he's Diddy. Like, everybody mm-hmm. wanted to be like Diddy because he had that strong ambition, that strong drive, and behind the scenes, it was just another messed up person or whatever, allegedly, from mm-hmm. whatever is going on behind the scenes. I don't know. But... there's these things that we, as the black community, we championed all of these people.
Yeah.
And these were the people who spoke for us when times were hard at times, or that, oh, they needed to do something. They funded a school, $2 million, and it doesn't take away the good deeds that they probably had good intentions for, but it kind of makes you look at it like, the way you got this money was dirty.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
The reason why you did this was dirty. You ain't just like when Diddy tried to give all his people their rights and shit to their music, mm-hmm. but you can't say shit about him at this point.
Exactly.
And so it's not like you're not doing us a favor. You're doing something for. And so that's my question. Remember mm-hmm. in the house, like I was asking, because to me, the shit that occurred in Saltburn and even situations that Cat Williams had brought up were similar.
Yeah.
You have people who are in the industry or people who are in your home with the wrong intentions, and they're telling you something else, or they're presenting a whole different story to you. And it's like, how do I, number one, maintain safe boundaries from people like that?
Right.
Where it's like, I'm not getting fucked over in the end, or I'm not being too open toward people. And then me as a person, how do I maintain the balance of being able to take from a person
mm-hmm.
but also give back to them at the same time, like where it's a equal transaction between us? Like
I think it's a ego thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like, let's use Dave Chappelle's for example.
Mm-hmm.
We know Dave Chappelle doesn't live that far from where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And he lives a meek life as far as we know. You know, mm-hmm. he lives in, because where we are is not really like much going on. It's not mm-hmm. fast life, fast living like New York or California or anything.
Yeah.
So, and he keeps genuine people that knows in this secluded area around you. I know you probably know. So I know probably Dave Chappelle's seen some weird shit. Mm-hmm. And I know he probably knows people who don't do weird shit. You know what I mean? I want you around. I need you around because, whoa, whop the bam, I do this for you. I might put you in my shows, concerts, this and this and this and that. You, in return, do whatever the case is. Bring the crowd out, bring the people out, and then we'll split the money. Mm-hmm. Whoa, whop the bam. I feel like that is a healthy way to for that to happen. But also, like it is, it's just ego. People don't have people. People don't have, like, let's say if we blow up and we know the people that has helped us along the way, you know, of course we'll bring them mm-hmm. With us, but it's just like the people that comes along with the blow up.
Yeah.
You know, that's where we have to decipher, all right, is this person a value to me or a what is it? It's a word
for hindrance.
That's used hindrance.
Or a leech.
A liability. That's what I was about to say. A liability. So yeah, I think it all just boils down to ego. All with your ego, whatever fuels your ego to do, is what's going to be the outcome of what brings people around you. Mm-hmm. Type shit. Yeah, man. I'm sensible. I'm that guy.
I'd be surprised because sometimes you know you struggle with it so much, and it's like
I'll be having my earthquake effect. Like my reading skills don't be.
I see. Yeah. Some it's. I almost said something I probably shouldn't have.
Don't Cat Williams.
Yeah.
I don't know why you align yourself with losers. That's not like you. He was talking about a lot of sucking dick, a lot of booty holes being tampered with.
Before we get
there. Oh, okay.
No, because Cat Williams was going into a lot of details about a lot of shit. He was exposing niggas for, you know, coming to a show, stealing his material and shit. And actually, you know, have you seen the proof? Like, people have put up side-by-side comparisons of... And I was so disappointed in Cedric the Entertainer. Because I was just like,
oh, with the stealing joke, stealing.
Yeah,
when he said the spaceship joke, and I was like, damn, I remember watching this joke on the Kings of Comedy tape. I remember watching that joke.
Damn.
And shit like that. But now people are saying, like, watch it, rewatch it, and look at the crowd reaction to each and every one of them.
Yeah.
Type shit.
Yeah, and that's what Cat was saying. And then he also, like, even with the shit, he said the motherfuckers all have light-skinned wives. They look alike, damn near. That's
crazy.
Scary.
That's
I ain't gonna
crazy,
lie. It is scary because he said whatever they signed the contract, this and that, these are the things, these are the perks that you get with it. This is what comes with your contract. And every one of y'all do got
a light-skinned wife.
And y'all are all doing the same shit. And then, like, even with the Luther thing, or Ludacris thing.
I was about to say, who the fuck is Luther?
But saying that, you know, that nigga signed over to the Illuminati talking about
200 million. Hey, bro. Yeah. Like, all right, can we be real? Can we be fucking for real, though?
You didn't believe that part?
No. It's not that I didn't believe the part, but, like, 200 million.
Mm-hmm.
I grant it's a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
But my family gets to have a life. Except for one person. Somebody gotta go. It's like it's life changing shit, and
you read the Hunger Games, right? I've watched it.
I watched
it. It's still that kind of life, though. It's like even with the Jonathan Majors thing, it's that kind of life where it's like, yeah, you get these are the perks, and it's like you get to have this, but nigga, at any time we'll take this shit away if you're not doing what we want from you.
That is true, but. I don't know. It's just like it's so difficult to think that way because it's like this is something sometimes because we was talking about it. Like sometimes this is life changing money and I get it, like all the downfalls of it. But this is life changing money that I bust my ass for. You know what I mean? Like to a certain degree, like because that's why I was like, what is a bad shortcut? Because he was talking about I don't respect people who take shortcuts. And I'm like, damn, what is a bad shortcut?
I feel like anytime you have to knock another person down to get in a place, that's a bad shortcut.
Okay.
That's not saying that, I don't know, like sometimes you're better than people at a certain skill or whatever. So,
because I'm better than y'all in all aspects of life.
At being a bitch. And so like if there was that, you would win. And so you would get that prize or you would take that place of being the bitch or whatever. So you could have that. But no, like, I don't know. Like, some people are better than other people at certain things.
Yeah, of course.
Like, if you are the top neurosurgeon, motherfuckers are going to want to pay for you or they're going
to
want you
to do what you
spot.
Do. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's to be expected. But if you have to go into the boss's ear and be like, yeah, I've been seeing him clock in a little late this week or whatever. I wouldn't give him that promotion if I was you. You a bitch.
Yeah.
You a bitch for that. You did not earn that. That's not earning it. And it's like, there's things that I've done throughout my life where I was like running for certain shit. Like I'm running campaigning in high school for certain shit. And it's like, I'm not going to do, or I'm working to achieve something. I'm working to become a supervisor. I'm working to become president of an organization. I'm working to do these things. I'm not going to go against my competitors and be like, here go the wrong information, or here, this was something you were supposed to know about and you don't know about it, so I'm not going to tell you about it.
Yeah.
That's not how I'm going to play my hand. And I ain't going to just be like, here, I want you to have the best opportunity or whatever, but I don't want to fuck nobody over to get where I need to go.
And that's why, and it's one of those things where good people will never, I wouldn't say good people will never get those type of opportunities, but good people will never, like, good, I look at it like
rarely
this.
Rarely get those opportunities.
I look at it like this. I'm in line, I got one item, and it's a long-ass fucking line. You know what I mean? And I got somebody with hella items with their in bulk in their hand, and I'm still going to take my one item and have that person wait. You know what I mean? Instead of, like, sometimes, instead of people, like, for that instance, it's just like, all right, I only got one item. You can go ahead. You can go in front of me. Like, a lot of people don't do that.
They don't.
You know what I mean? And they'll just take that opportunity. All right, cool. I got my shit. All right, go ahead about your day type shit. So I think that's really what it is. That's the society we live in. You know what I mean? We don't care about having the next person succeed. I know for me, in the media that I've been in so far, I've always been that type of guy. I always want the best of the best who do what you, you know what I mean? Like, whatever you do, I want you on my team. For instance, I'll use it like this, and then not to go off tangent, but for instance, like, Tyler, before I was this media mogul, this top future entrepreneur, before I was that guy, I was editing. I was a camera guy. And Tyler, I heard about him. He was making noise. He was doing these crazy edits, all this shit like that. And I was looking at it and I was like, damn, like, either I got to bust my ass to do some better edits, or like, just appreciate a person that actually is just, hey, he's just better than me.
Yeah.
You just got to appreciate the art of a person just being better than you at that. You know what I mean? And now me and Tyler work together and I stay in my lane. I don't say, oh, Tyler, I stay in my lane and I do what's best, what I do best. He does what he does best, and it works and makes the best product. That's what I'm saying for that. People don't want the best product. They just want self to be self-made, self-sufficient. I made this. I got that type shit.
And it's like, because Cat Williams, Cap said, you're not going to let niggas who juice give an opinion on athletes who are actually working. You're not going to let niggas who aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, or, you know, not really. Like he said, in this shit, I'm a comedian, but it's more than just being able to tell the joke. It's writing the joke, it's understanding my crowd, it's understanding the people, it's understanding when to deliver the joke and everything. And there's more to it for him. And you got niggas who get jokes written for them, and they come up and they try to say a joke in front of other people. And so, like, it don't always work out. And we are two different people, because I'm putting more effort into my shit. Not to say that every time you put more effort in means that you're supposed to get more, because sometimes it takes a little bit more effort than the next person. But true work is true work. And we can't be like, oh, this is the same thing as this.
Yeah, of course.
And like he said, that's why niggas was on his ass like that. That's why his shows and shit kept getting reported. That's why they started having motherfuckers clap at the end of everybody's set and do a little standing ovation, because if it looks weird when it's only Cat getting them, and everybody else is not. Yeah,
that's true. That's,
and they should have stopped doing it, because like he said too, like, I have my bad days. I'm not like, I'm great at what
I do.
It
took a long time for him to answer that, though. Yeah. It took a long time for him to answer that.
But he still said the shit. He said, I got my bad days. I'm doing just as bad as everybody else when I need to. And sometimes I need to get booed. Sometimes, as a comedian, as a performer, as an artist, whoever, you need to get the negative reviews, and you need to understand that, hey, there's more work that I can do. I can put in an extra effort. I can do better at this. I can be better at this. I can perfect this a little bit more. When you get lazy and you, like he said with them other niggas, the Kings of Comedy, y'all already had what y'all had set up, and y'all didn't have room for nobody else.
That's true.
And it's very disappointing, especially looking up to them as like mentors, and being like, oh, these are, you know, black men, these are supposed to be for like, these niggas are supposed to be the ones to open up the door for us or whatever. And I think we do need more of that. We need more black men who, and again, not to say it, we don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
But we need more people who are in these positions of power who are willing to divvy up?
I don't know.
Divvy up some of that power. Like,
yeah.
Give up, like, you know.
Let people have a shot. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, let people have a shot and let not be on some weird shit. That's the proof of the pudding. Just don't be on no weird shit while y'all just trying to make people come up or whatever the come up is. Just don't do no weird shit. You know what I mean? Because make your own lane. If you don't want nothing to happen to you, and that's what Cat Williams saying, make your own thing work for whatever you work with, so you don't have to compromise yourself for these things.
Mm-hmm. You kind of had an experience.
I did.
You,
let me be serious about this, because this is actually serious. But
it's a serious situation. You had a situation where, like, you know, somebody tried to compromise
my manhood. I would say that. So, I was 22, turning 23. So when I went on the trip, I was 23. This guy I met through a mutual friend, and he basically was the guy was big time. He met people that are or were aligned with people that I said I wanted to work with as a young 22-year-old that I'm like, all right, I know I want to make it out. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that my life was the bad, but I've had poverty times. So I met this person, and they were like, hey, we're going to fly you out here. We're going to do this commercial. We're going to do this big thing. So, you know, I'm excited. You know, I'm young. I'm excited. This seems like the opportunity. We're going to make it out the hood with this one.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like.
Mm-hmm.
So I get there. But before I get a flight, you know, the guy, he's just like, you know, what size shoes you wear? Like this and this and that. Once again, I'm young. I'm 22. Well, I'm 23. I'm 23. I'm not really thinking too much of, like, oh, this is being nice. You know what I mean? I know this person. If this person knows this person, they're good. So he's like, yeah, what size shoe you wear? You know, I got to get you a birthday gift. So I'm like, yeah, I wear this and this and this and this and that. So I'm about to get on my flight. My flight is paid for. And I get a call. Like, there, I'm about to board. I get a call from my LB. And he says, hey, I know this guy is doing a lot for you. Like, you know, paying for your flights, make sure your shoes. But people just don't do things and not collect their debts. Type shit like that. So I'm like, you know, I'm talking to him. I'm like, thank you. I appreciate that. You know what I mean? Still not like it's in the back of my head. So as I'm sitting on a plane, I'm thinking to myself, like, you know, I've already had this pre-guard up. You know what I mean? Like, I am going to a place that I'm not familiar. Nobody I know, like, I don't have no way of escape, damn near. Like, my flight is paid for by this person. My transportation is made from this person. You know what I mean? So, not to make a long story short, it gets weird. Like, little things now I'm paying attention to gets weird. And it gets weird when we have this final conversation, my last day when I need to leave. And, you know, he's asking me these questions, and he's saying this stuff like, I can grant you, I can get you in the rooms that you want to get into. You know what I mean? You want to do this stuff and this and this and this and this and that. And he wasn't alluding to taking my butt, but it was alluding to taking my butt. And
he said something about you being the only intern who would understand.
Bitch, is this my story or your story? So he was like, he told me, he was like, you know, you're the only intern that I can trust to, you know, tell these things to and then, you know, the conversation was weird, and I asked him, I was like, are you gay? You know, I asked him, I'm like, are you gay? And he was like, the way he worded it, basically, yes, but the way he worded it, like, I have fun, I'm free, type shit like that. And you know, but alluding another way of, like, have you done drugs? Are you into this? Like, are you into these things? Why don't you do? I'm like, I don't do drugs. I don't do, you know what I mean? I don't do none of these things. And basically, like, you don't trust yourself. So this lady, we were staying at his friend's house. This lady comes out and she says, you know, most interns won't do this. Most interns won't ask questions. They'll just do. You know what I mean? And he went up because he was upstairs and went to the bathroom. And then so she comes, she tells me that. So I'm like, yeah, I just was totally like freaked out. Luckily, this is my last day. I packed everything that I needed to pack. And I packed everything where I needed to pack. And basically, I just was like, I'm ready to go. I locked every door, everything, this and this and this and that. And I was literally staying, like, literally prone on my bed. Like, bro, like, I don't want to turn no side. I don't know if he's going to pull up a latch. I don't know if he's going to fly out the whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm protecting my butt at this point. So, what the fuck else happened? I went back. Long story short, I went back and I'm calling everybody. I'm calling my homie Jock, and he's telling me, like, you know, that's what, you know, what Hollywood is. I'm in my head like, bro, I don't even want to do media no more. You know what I mean? Like, I was in touch physically, but just from that verbiage, it just felt like I never felt so vulnerable. As a grown man, I've never felt like that small and felt like a child, you know what I mean, in that instance. So I'm calling, and then my girl at the time, she was telling me, well, like, well, it's an opportunity, you know. I mean, I don't think he meant anything by it. You know, you got to take these opportunities. They just don't come. They just don't this and this and this and that. And that's why I toast to, once again, Wallow and Gilly for giving me that game. I went over their spot, and they basically told me, Gilly was telling me, like, most niggas that's 23 would give up some ass just to get some opportunity.
You bumped into them right after this happened, right?
Yeah, I bumped into them right after this happened, and they was just telling me, like, hey, bro, like, what you did was right. Don't ever think that you, whatever compromise, whatever your morals is, you stood on business. You know what I mean? But a lot of niggas, is you're on an encounter. A lot of niggas, there's a lot more niggas like that than it is good niggas in this industry. So I was just sitting there, and I was like, I don't know what to do. And he's like, whatever, you know, whatever this path, the path that you decided to take and choose is going to be the hardest one, but it's going to have the most reward out of it. So, that was the brief story on how that, you know, that similar situation that happens, you know what I mean? A lot of people, I want people to understand that when you're faced with that, when you're so young, you're so hungry, and, you know, you're ambitious, you want to win, you want your friends to have this lifestyle just as much as you have the lifestyle, always stand back on your morals. Always stand back on who you are and what are you going to be okay with to look in the mirror for. You know what I mean? So that was a very scary moment. I'm very open to talk about it. I've always been very open to talk about it. I was never shied away. Like, this never gave me the motivation to do it. I've always told it. But that situation helped me get to this situation of podcasting. Because, I mean, I was telling the story to Wallow and Gilly, but they was dying laughing the way I was telling the story at first. And it was just like, either I'm going to do stand-up or I'm going to do something else, because these niggas is rolling on the ground, crying, laughing at. But this is a traumatic story, but it's just like, I just never thought that could happen to me. You never would think that that can happen to you at that age type shit.
Yeah. I think, too, when shit like this happens, nothing gets Wallow or Gilly. But I don't think we ever really truly understand the magnitude of what that person just experienced or what they just went through and how they feel in that moment. Because that shit don't be a good feeling. And, like, I don't know, like, as somebody who's had a stalker, as somebody who's been through weird situations, that shit make your body freeze up and it make you feel like, I don't know how to explain it, but I know, like, I don't know, my body feel hot as fuck, but it also feel cold at the same time, and it feel like a person is right near me and they actually not. And it's creepy as fuck. It's a creepy feeling. And I think that I don't think we handle these situations well enough when they occur, especially when they occur to men. Because a lot of times we do think it's funny, or we just like, oh, a nigga just this and that. And that should be scary. Like you said, like, it was traumatic as fuck.
I have never, bro, like, I swear to God, like, that's not like one of them like nightmares, but it was just like, bro, I never want to go through that again.
Because who the fuck knows what could have happened? You in this random-ass place with this grown-ass man. And people do think, you know, when you're younger, you think 23 is grown. You think even at 23, you think you're grown. But you realize how much of a child you still are and how innocent you still can be. And you don't always think, like, this person got wrong intentions, but anything could have happened. You could have been down there. It could have not just been him. It could have been him and a couple of his homies that wanted to do whatever.
Look at this ass. Look at this ass. And that ass was assing back then. You know what I mean? I mean, I blame him, but I don't blame him for his, you know what I'm saying?
No, when shit like this happens, though, like, I do think people need to be comforted. Like, men or women, you need to be comforted. It needs to be taken serious. Like, again, nothing against Wilo or Gilly. But shit like this don't need to be laughed at.
But, you know, not even that, like a knock to them. Like, it wasn't. I needed that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even though they laughed or something like that. But it was just like. They laughed as in, like. You okay, nigga? Like, it didn't give me, like, oh, like, these niggas laughing at me, my trauma, this and this and this. And it wasn't, like, a starstruck moment. Like, you know, I'm making. But it was just, like, I needed that. I needed to, like, that laugh was just, like, it's going to be okay
that
to
was
me.
Good for you.
Yeah, like, it just needed to be okay. Yeah, like, you good, nigga. Mm-hmm. Like, you good. You made it. You made it out. You know what I mean? Like, that was that okay, like, for me, at least. You know, most people would have been like, oh, these niggas laughing at me. Like.
Cause I know a couple situations that just occurred where it was like it was a situation not similar to you, but similar, and it was just like the response to it wasn't what it should have been, where people should have took it seriously or treated or handled it with care. Like, I don't know. I think there too much of rape culture is embedded in our culture, and. We don't always see things for what they are in the moment.
Exactly.
Like, shit do be very traumatic, and it'd be like, oh, that light blinking. We'd be like,
oh, yeah, we got to wrap it up. How do I do it? It's about that time where we leave you with a positive message to get through the week. Vince, what is your positive message to get through the week?
Monitor your spaces. Monitor, you know, keep in mind of who you are letting in your space, who you letting around your energy and who you are opening up your space and your energy to. Vet these people out.
Mm-hmm.
Vet these people out that's dealing with your kids, your grandparents, whoever. You never know who people really are. And just stop inviting strangers in your fucking house.
Yeah, that's true. My positive message to get through the week. Whoever's out there, if you young, you ambitious, you got drive, this and this and this and that, it just don't happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long road. When you got morals, it's a long road, bro. And, you know, stand on what you stand on. It's okay. You're going to get your flowers. You're going to get your rewards. God is going to bless you. No matter what you do in this world, whatever you do in this life, God is going to bless you as long as you're doing the right thing and you're doing good by people. With that being said, I'm Nas.
I'm Vince.
Thank you for being awkward with us. Woo. See you next week. Woo!
What you think, Sharice?
What you think, Reese?
What you think, Chaz, since this is your first episode you've been watching?